Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we take a walk down memory road with Drew and his daughter, Paulina, playing you some old clips from Loveline when she was 6 years old. It's adorable and funny. Take some phone calls as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, what's up? It's Meta World Peace here. And I got my new podcast, Metaphorically Speaking. We're going to be talking about mental health, basketball, and a lot of tough topics. All that and more with my friends and celebrities. So make sure you check out my podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Lisa Lampanelli. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, a visit from Dr. Drew and his daughter Paulina to talk about their new book, It Doesn't Have to Be Awkward. And now, wishing himself a happy International Podcast Day, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
I just want to snuggle tonight.
Dr. Drew is in studio. His daughter Paulina will be joining us momentarily.
Hi, Guy.
She's not late. We are a little early. We started a couple minutes early, so we will bring her in. Until then, we can talk to Dr. Drew. They authored a book together.
We did.
Father-daughter book.
Turned out to be a really good experience.
It doesn't have to be awkward. It's the name of the book. It's available now on Amazon and wherever you find. I miss this. Finer books or finer broadcasts.
Fine books are sold.
Fine books are sold. They put fine clothiers, you know. They put the word fine in front of stuff.
It's gone.
Or wherever better books are sold.
Better books.
Or fine. I don't know. That's not inclusive enough now or something's going on.
Amazon washed all of it out. Anything good is like, meh. Mm-hmm. It's just what's lowest price. That's all.
So we have a few clips, thankfully, that Giovanni sent us from way back in the day, Loveline days, when Paulina came in.
I heard. I want her to be here when you play
those. Yeah, we won't play those until she enters the studio. Yeah.
How old do you think she was around then?
Six?
Oh,
yeah,
like a
young baby. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my
Very
God.
Young.
Yeah, it's going to be funny.
There was a situation where she wanted a treehouse.
Yeah.
And Drew, we're looking at young Drew and young Paulina in, along with... Douglas or Jordan is
Jordan.
Well.
I see Jordan back there. Yeah, and is that the phone screen that was always giving you shit?
Is that Tara? Don't call me Tara.
Yeah, is it?
I don't know. Tara, don't call me Tara was one of our phone screeners that gave me some Suris. It was my fault for asking her to do her job nicely, so that one's on me.
Yeah, I hope you learned.
She sort of was at the tip of the spear of the young millennial and the boss man.
This was the way the wind was blowing.
Coming in and having requests.
Yep.
Judging by Drew's hair and the decor, was that the K-Rock Studios or was that Westwood One?
That's Westwood One.
Yeah.
Westwood One had a lot. There was a lot of wood grain going on over there.
Really brown.
A lot
from
of
the 70s.
Cedar on the wall and oak in the console. And all that, yeah.
Oh, I know where that is. The studio's on the right,
correct.
And that's the little bench that used to be on. Yep. Okay, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll put the picture up at adamcarolla.com. Yes. We were, I don't know who the woman is in the background.
I'm pretty sure that's not Tara. Tara.
I don't think it's Tara.
Damn it, Brian.
Call me Tara. It's not Ann, producer Ann. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody that Drew had bring the kids
in. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it a nanny, babysitter?
I don't think so.
Call me Brian.
I remember one of my earliest experiences with the twins. Do you remember, Drew, the earliest?
Triplets.
The triplets?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking
which
at
one
two.
Do you not like?
I'm looking at two kids, but you're right. The triplets.
Yes, I do know exactly what Adam is going to report. He came to dinner in our house. They were roughly 6 months old, and they threw their clothing off and started jumping off the furniture and the architectural appointments around the living room. Yes?
Yeah, you had a sunken living room, or there was something
raised,
that they could jump off onto something else in the nude.
And Adam was very uncomfortable.
We're
he did not like
dinner,
this at all.
And I was like, they're naked, they're going to hurt themselves. Yeah. What are we doing here? And Drew was like, pay no never mind
animals,
to them.
They're animals. What are you going to do? They're running around, like literally just.
No, but they were not 6 months old. They were 3 years old.
Oh, is it that old?
Well, I'm doing the math. Yeah. There's six here, five or six. I started Loveline in 95.
Yeah.
So I don't think I came over to dinner before I knew you.
No. We had just started stuff up. That's true. 95, there would have been four. So that's about four, yeah.
Yeah, or could have been.
Clothing
yeah,
up,
seems
dinner,
to be, a little old to be throwing their clothes off, yeah. But okay.
That's what I was saying for dinner. Far be it for me to be the prude in the room, but it felt like we'd crossed some sort of line, maybe a fiduciary line that Drew had.
Well, they still had diapers, though. I remember there was the diaper they threw off, so.
Oh, my.
Kind of weird.
Wow. Yeah, but they, yeah. I thought.
Can't be safe.
They could. A,
you're lucky one of the boys didn't start urinating from up on the pedestal.
Oh, that
was
right
their custom.
He's been peed on.
That was their custom, of course.
Well-versed in that, Drew. Sand to the beach. But yeah, they were naked, which I was semi-uncomfortable with.
Semi-uncomfortable? Then, you couldn't stop talking about it. What's going on? What's happening here?
Well,
can we stop
it
this?
Was them, but it was also them doing things where I thought they could sprain something or tear a ligament. So
I love
kind
that
of both.
Dr. Drew didn't care and you were worried. This feels like a role reversal.
Oh, yeah. And we were like, it's animals. Uh-oh, Paulina's calling me. Let's see where they are.
It was mainly just a distraction.
We're on the pod now.
I was trying to eat and enjoy the company, and I just felt like the keys were jingling.
Yeah, wild animals. And then cut to just a few years later, Natalia telling you, back it up, back it up. I want to jump.
I stand by that decision to almost kill my daughter. I really do. I think it was a very teachable moment.
Sure,
and also, it does go and show that the wiring is very early in kids, you know.
And not gender specific.
No. Natalia was a daredevil. She'd run across the bed and leap at me and so on and so forth. And Sonny wouldn't make the jump unless my knees were touching the edge of the bed. Like, I was literally pressed against the bed. There was nothing to cover. You know what I mean? If he was Evel Knievel, he would have had the takeoff ramp and the landing ramp touching.
Glued together.
Glued together.
Would have been a little hill.
Yes. It would have popped
the wheelie.
He would
have filled in Snake River Canyon.
Right. Yeah. And that's who they are, and that's how they are. And that's the wiring, and there's nothing we can do about it.
I remember what you used to... She used to jump off the bed. You just let her fall on her face.
Yeah. That's how you learn.
I didn't let her fall on her face. She kept telling me to move back.
Very well.
And I kept telling her, I got to what I knew was kind of the threshold.
Yeah.
Like, if I take one more step backward, I will not be able to catch you. And I knew what her range was, which was a lot. Her range was 7-8 feet. She'd launch herself like big time. I knew what my range was, and I knew this exceeded my range. Mm.
And you gave her fair warning. You said, I will not catch
you. You're not making it.
She's never forgiven you.
Speaking of these uncovered or recovered memories from childhood, I would love to know if Paulina remembers being absolutely humiliated on stage at the, what was it, the Wii
Oh, that's
roast?
An interesting point. Remember that,
somebody
Drew?
Remembered that. Yeah, they weren't humiliated.
Do you think they remember?
No, they were terrified.
Or confused?
They were confused.
Yeah, okay.
No,
Douglas
they were
remembers.
Frightened.
Douglas remembers it. Douglas remembers it.
Drew. Yeah. They were not confused. There was a wall of 13,000 people booing them. They were terrified. They
well,
had PTSD.
What they remember is that Joe Montana was there.
Oh, nice. Was he?
Remember? You don't remember that?
I don't remember that part.
And that there was like a Rugrats
where
thing
were
in the back.
Like, we were
San Jose.
It's San Jose. Yeah. I knew we were north somewhere.
Yeah. KSJL?
Yeah. No, it was...
could have been San Luis for some reason, but Joe Montana.
No. It was KYME. It was KYME in San Jose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were asked there to bring out...
Some bands or something.
Right.
And we
it was
decided,
a big festival.
Yeah.
It was held in the big amphitheater type space.
And they, my kids just remember that there was video games in the back, and sort of there were like rug rack figures or something, or some sort of cartoon stuff back there.
But we thought it would be fun to bring them out on stage,
right?
So we put them in the wings.
Yeah,
Drew and I went out, did our usual spiel.
Yeah,
you know, love line, blah blah blah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah,
and then I think I announced them as Hanson.
Correct. That's what happened.
And that's when
ladies and gentlemen, Hanson!
We wave them out.
These three little toe-headed children come out.
And, of course, the crowd was there to see Slipknot and Gwar. And it just started booing reflexively. Like, they booed... I mean, like you, like if you're at a political rally, if you're at a Trump rally, and you go, Obama said, you know, or vice versa. Yeah.
Like Nancy Pelosi.
You just say the name, and they would start booing, and that's what happened with Hanson.
Yeah, we'll see if Pauline, I bet she doesn't remember him. That's my prediction. Douglas has talked about it a couple of times.
In therapy or to you?
Right.
Both.
All right. So, I will be interested in getting her take on that because they were about that same age. About
the age you saw in the picture just
about
there.
About six, right?
Say. Yeah.
What were you guys doing? Were you like turning that to a little family vacation or something?
Yes. We went to San Francisco, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's hard. You know, it's weird. All those things were so vivid for so long and then they become faint and you can't like really remember. It's very strange.
And I don't remember Joe Montana being there.
I remember that. There was sort of a bridge up top. So you could watch the bands, and he was up there. And my sons were very impressed with that. Joe Montana.
Probably. My goodness. Wasn't that far off his playing days?
Absolutely not. He'd been gone a year or two.
Yeah. We may have still been playing, but for Kansas City.
Kansas City, right. But may have retired. I don't know. When did Montana retire?
Because you guys would have been 95, 96.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So you probably retired.
Yeah, it's a couple years out. Anyway, the book has been a good success, and we enjoyed doing it. And it was originally supposed to be about consent.
Mm-hmm.
They came to me, and some publishers were like, let's do a book on consent. I'm like, all right, because the teenagers, young people were really confused with the Me Too thing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know, you know, they didn't want to be seen as bad people. They didn't know how to, you know, and South Park was sort of nailing it at the time. They were saying that you'd have to bring out documents, you know, to get consent.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. And I thought, all right, it's a good idea to do that. And then COVID hit, and I thought, I need a young person. I can't do this. I can't reach what it's like for a 15-year-old.
Need some cred.
So Paulina was just finished her graduate degree in writing from Columbia, and I thought, I can bring Paulina in. And it worked. Welcome.
Hello.
Heat up your mic and get right up on it, please, Paulina. That's just the way they work.
Perfect.
Roll. Happy to do that.
Glad to have you. We had a clip saved from Loveline from a million years ago. I think maybe there's two. I don't know which one we were playing, but or maybe both.
You were on the show. You don't know that?
Oh, I know.
Oh.
No, I mean, being on Twitter as your daughter means Loveline fans reminding me when I was on Loveline. So I only know because the fans told me.
Mm-hmm. Was it? And before we forget, do you have any recollection to being at an outdoor concert in San Jose and being brought out on stage as Hanson and hearing the audience boo?
Unfortunately, I repressed that memory.
Good.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
Shove it down.
Shove it on down.
You don't remember it?
Nope.
Okay, good.
It's for the best.
Douglas,
wait, that actually happened?
Yeah, you were out on stage in an amphitheater with about 13,000 people, something like that.
Could have been more.
It looked, maybe 24,000, and you looked confused.
And like it was like a hard rock concert, and Adam brought you out as Hanson. And everybody
Hanson. Boo!
You know,
but you know, it's actually good. It's actually interesting philosophically if we think about it for a second, which is my childhood was devoid of any events, any trivia,
true,
any
meaning,
experiences,
joy,
or meaning,
love,
or joy,
empty,
or travel.
Empty.
Well, what I mean is if I had gone to Maui once, whatever the age, and you said to me, whatever the age I currently am, you remember your trip to Maui, I would have been vividly. Because it would have been one trip. Now, if you're going on lots of trips, being exposed to lots of groups and crowds, having lots of experiences, then, you know, ask any comedian. Ask Chris Rock about any arena he's played over the last 20 years. Like, I don't remember. You know, they all blend into one. But if he played one show in one arena that one time, then it gets kind of burnt in.
Absolutely.
Right? Like the one Christmas you got the shit you wanted.
Yeah.
But if it was every Christmas you got all the shit you wanted, then you don't have the general recollection of it anymore.
It's diluted.
We'll play the clip from...
That's a Waste of My Time?
That's Sunny from 2000. This is what? You want to set this up, Chris?
Yeah, this is just a late night. Paulina was up. The other kids were sleeping, so they decided to get her on mic.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. Drew's young daughter has not gone to sleep yet.
No. She wants to talk on that microphone, too.
Yeah. Well, heat it up there, Anderson. Let's hear what she has
to say. We hear you now, Paulina. You're on the air. You can say something.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, Paulina.
Mickey Mouse.
No using the F word or the F word on the air, right?
Yes.
Okay. You enjoying yourself?
Yep.
What's your hamster's name?
Herman.
Herman.
Remember that? I call him Coconut, too.
Oh. You do?
Oh, my God.
Why do you call him Coconut?
He's loco.
Oh, yeah. He's a little crazy.
Yep.
Bilingual. All right, and how long have you had Herman?
Great minds.
How long did I have him, Daddy?
About 2 months.
About 2 months. Actually,
sounds good. That should be your ringtone.
That's a good part about being a kid. All right, well, you'll have him for a good long time. I think the average life...
He turned 2 today.
He turned 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just
how
decided.
Did I know that? Yeah.
Oh, I
didn't
see.
Know that.
Well, happy birthday, Herman. And hamsters live to, what, 30, 35 years old? Yeah. All right. All right, Paulina, thank you. Take a little nap now, okay?
Please.
There.
Please.
please. Right out.
Wow, so good improv. Yes, and napping.
I was a natural.
21, or I'm sorry. Yeah, that's 21 years ago.
Wow.
And then.
Herman lasts another 9 weeks.
Well, he died shortly after he was on Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, in which he was on a leash on stage.
No.
And we upgraded his cage to one of those like two-tier wire cages that has like staircases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He just sat at the bottom and slowly died.
Oh no.
So but he used to literally go into the wall sockets and then end up in my mom's bathtub. So he was a special hamster.
Wow, he got around.
Spelunking.
Yeah. And then there was the letter to me to build her the treehouse, which Drew
I don't know if
fostered.
I've actually heard this segment, but I remember writing that letter.
Yeah, you wanted a treehouse.
I'm still
you
upset.
You still want a treehouse.
Yeah, I had plans.
I still got mad skills.
Listen, it's never too late.
I concur. I think in a weird way, building a treehouse for a son or a daughter is like one of the purest things a dad can do.
Absolutely.
And so Drew, it was actually funny because Drew was trying to recruit me, but also when Jordan and Douglas came by with their little soapbox racer, the little Cub Scout ski racer thing I shaped for them, I think. I was the go-to woodworking guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that you're a natural woodworker, Dad.
No.
But
he has a guy.
My mom's the one that fixes the toilets when they break.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she blows them up, so I mean, to be fair to her, you break it, you bought it, baby. So this is a cut from Loveline from 2002, which is the letter.
I'll tell you something. This girl's penmanship, spelling, and punctuation is better than mine. Absolutely.
Which was out of heart
and vocabulary with the use of the three pleases. Please, please, please make a big treehouse, please. I would really like that. It would be the funnest thing in the house. I could have my club meetings in it. Uh-oh. You got to get her away from your wife. Already thinking about them clubs. Them social clubs.
Scary.
Got to get the girls together so we can complain about guys in life.
Mm.
See, guys get together, they watch sports,
they do stuff.
They get loaded.
Yeah.
Girls get together and complain about guys getting together.
Oh, yeah.
That's really why girls clubs were formed. Because guys won out. Guys said, hey, let's get together. Let's go to the drag races. Let's go to the motocross races. Let's throw the football around. Let's watch the game. Women said, we got to have a meeting so that we can complain about what guys do when they get together. They can't even do stuff, women, that does not involve complaining about guys.
A little editorializing here.
What a life that would be.
This is part of the letter?
Yeah, that was all in the letter.
I could have my club meetings in it.
I was going off the beat.
If you say yes, you might not. I really want you to. And this is in parentheses. I really, really want you to. And me and my friends will help you.
Oh.
If you say yes, Will you start this weekend? And come and do it at our house, please.
What's the starting date?
I can't stop thinking about how much fun it would be.
Wow. Hard sell.
Can I bring this letter to my therapist? I keep trying to give him examples of this sort of pressure I'm under, but he never understands what I'm talking about.
The problem is if your girlfriend's here, you're going to be at our house.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. P.S. Write back tonight at the radio and give it to my daddy. Is that Anderson or... No,
write her back, Adam.
I'm scared because what grade is she in?
Third grade.
My penmanship and spelling is no better than this. And my writing is slightly less legible.
She'll feel like she's getting a letter from her peers. That'll be fine. That'll be good.
Her peers. Like, would you have a
second grader?
A first grader take quotation? Okay. All right. I'm going to write her back. All right.
This will be good.
Please, please, please leave my ass alone. No, I'll put a bid in, but it's going to be so high that I'll be right out of the game. That's my plan. Right. What does a girl want a treehouse for?
She and a little group of friends decided they want it.
Meetings. Okay.
A group of
I built Jimmy's kid a playhouse once.
That's right. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I did. One of the first things I did when I met Jimmy is build him out a playhouse in the backyard. A house they were renting in the San Fernando Valley, like the first house
this
Jimmy
is gonna
had
be a problem.
When he moved out here.
Paulina looks betrayed.
I didn't know that piece of information. And my question is, did you not build it for me because I'm a girl?
Mm-mm.
He's part of the patriarchy.
Well, Jimmy has a son and a daughter.
Uh-huh.
And it was decorated more in a female theme. So I think the playhouse, interesting. Treehouse, I do think male. Playhouse, I think female.
Okay.
Both have house, both in the backyard. Maybe it's the elevation. Mm. I don't know. Or maybe it's that when I grew up, every commercial or kid movie had the guys in the treehouse.
Right. Right.
They never really depicted females in a treehouse. It was always the guy. It's the patriarchy.
It is the patriarchy. I was ready for that treehouse. I was ready for all my meetings. Mostly I wanted to choreograph dances in there.
Yes.
That was like the primary activity. But to this
the patriarchy
day,
made you do that.
Well, it's the patriarch tree.
Yes.
The patriarch tree.
Patriarch tree.
I also love that in that letter I'm saying that the treehouse is going to be the best thing. I'm ignoring the trampoline, the, you know, pool.
You guys had a nice bouncy castle before they were in vogue.
Yes, that's right.
Our first grade birthday party.
Was it first grade?
Yeah, that was the first year we were in our new house. And I remember you. I specifically remember you there because you were with a blonde woman.
That's right.
And
from Loveline.
Yeah. She was our co-host.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
She was so nice.
Oh, yes.
She was so nice to me. And I was just like, remember being like, oh, it's my birthday.
You think that's how adults are, and then you become an adult, and you hang out with other adults, and then you realize they're not nearly as nice as they are to you when you're... That must have been 2000?
2000.
Trying to think. And that was the first year you're in the big...
Big house.
The big house.
In, yeah.
Yeah, we moved. You guys had a full bouncy castle.
It was
slide
thing.
It was an obstacle
course. It was an inflatable castle.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't a bouncy castle.
The best birthday party that's ever been thrown for me, and it was all downhill from there.
Right, but it's
at least
not,
we got there.
It's not really thrown for you. It's thrown for you
and my brother.
You only get 33% of
it's
that
true.
Party if you think about it.
I remember Adam was looking at all your classmates going, you can see exactly who everybody's going to be already. You remember that?
Yeah. I should have tagged him.
She's like there's the alcoholic. He was like...
Future lawyer.
Yeah.
Well, kids have a certain motor, and they have certain leanings and sense of humor, or dour kids, or the quiet kids, or the thinkers, and the scared kids, the kids that don't want to go up the ladder and slide down the inflatable slide. And it starts to... show itself like pretty damn early.
Yeah.
Although, so for you, you got into comedy writing, and I didn't see that on, although.
You didn't see that coming for me?
I never thought of Drew. Drew was always like college with the kids. And I never thought of comedy in college. I just thought of you're going there to study some hard science or something.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do science. I did American Studies in undergrad. And then after, Here's my question. How do you feel having predicted my eating disorder?
Mm. Oh, I will. Well done.
To be fair to me, I have made many jokes about many subjects. Uh-huh. Like I said, Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States.
In 1992 or 1996,
no,
you said
no,
that.
No, it was like 08. The thing about that one was, is I said he will be president in 2016, and I'm not even versed enough in the presidential election right. years. I could have said 17 and a half. Like I just said... I called the year.
Wow. You did?
Too. Yeah, which people think, oh, my God. But it's really just if you talk for 7 hours a day, shit's
going to come, clock.
Shit's gonna come out of your yeah. mouth. Now, as yeah. far as your eating disorder goes, I was just using it as a stick to beat Drew with, which is all your college talk and all your helicopter parenting is going to – and all I could – and men traditionally don't have eating disorders.
They do.
Traditionally, well, I'm putting the word traditionally. Okay. Front. What I'm saying is I focused on you because traditionally the daughter has the eating disorder, and I was trying to bring Drew down a couple of. So it wasn't Nostradamus-esque. It was more just
it wasn't prophetic.
Nonstop. No, although it was, but it wasn't.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because in college I discovered writing, mm-hmm. and I wrote a piece about my eating disorder and. That made me eating disorder girl in a way that I didn't want to be eating disorder mm-hmm. girl. And that's when I decided to do the comedy trajectory. And so after college, I went and did the Second City Conservatory and studied improv and sketch. And then after that, I went to graduate school at Columbia, where I pursued my Master's of Fine Arts in Nonfiction and Creative Writing. And I applied to be a seminar teacher in the creative writing program for high schoolers. And they were like, no, we want you to teach comedy. We don't need you as a seminar person. So now I've been teaching comedy for 4 years.
Nonfiction creative writing. What is the emphasis there? What is the application?
Shitting on your parents.
Not exclusively, but that is under the umbrella.
Okay.
No, nonfiction can be anywhere from biography, essays.
I know that, but
yeah.
The creative part it feels counterintuitive a little bit. I was an English major also, so it feels like it's a little counterintuitive.
It makes me think like essayist, memoirist.
Exactly. I'm a memoirist. That's my primary mode. But
shitting on the parents.
Shitting on my
parents. Well, speaking of shitting on
that's
parents.
That's how it manifests itself.
I got a joke, which is I had one of those helicopter moms as well, except for she was the last helicopter out of Saigon. So I never saw her.
But they dumped her off the ship eventually.
They pushed her off a battleship.
I don't know if this is a question more for your dad or for you, but I guess for the doc. So when you see these pieces that feel a little personal, a little, you know, because like a lot of us were raised to like keep it in the family, deal with it, you know. Mm-hmm. How did you feel? How did Susan feel?
We, you know, we read it like this.
Yeah, at arm's length. Like, yeah, yeah.
We're waiting for the punches and are always proud of it once we get used That's to right. it, you know.
I mean, ultimately.
Not so much, Mom.
Yeah,
no,
mom,
even
well,
she. Even she.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. She, I mean, she can
it
get
takes
upset
her,
about it.
It takes her. She has to have her initial
let's
reaction.
Let's just say the punches land a little more. There's some good body shots that I don't have to suffer sometimes.
Well,
they don't land the same way.
The thing is when it comes to nonfiction writing, good nonfiction writing doesn't come from a place of vengeance. And so.
Shit.
Yeah. So ultimately, you have to come from a place of having processed the information first before you craft it into something. And so I'm never coming from a place of like. Trying to cause harm or take shots. Like ultimately for me, it's how do I conjure the experience? How do I do the world building? How do I convey my perspective and my experience? Mostly because my childhood experience was so, like, as you were saying, like I was going to Maui when I was like 6 months old, you know, like I've experienced things that the majority of this country hasn't. And so for me, it's more of just kind of documenting the entire experience in a way that is holistic and not.
I would argue also as she has sort of worked through or developed these writing experiences that she's more.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Sympathetic for. I get distracted. The more sympathetic to women our age, Adam, and her mom's experience and what they had to deal with the patriarchy.
Oh, yeah. I was not a woman in the 80s.
Is
Gina's like
not me.
You're good writer, but you're a good talker too. Are you thinking about getting out stand up? I mean, I don't know whatever the next progression is comedically.
everyone thinks I already do stand up, so I think it's time that I take the leap and try. But, you know, right now, you know, we're selling, we have It Doesn't Have to Be Awkward, which is out now where books are sold.
Finer books.
Finer books?
Mm-hmm. 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 Oh, before you got here.
Oh, I missed the joke.
Yes, it's callback.
I know that term.
Now, I actually could see marrying those two ideas and you guys going on the road and doing this as sort of a stand-up presentation.
Well, yeah. We hope to do that. We actually have one scheduled already.
In November.
Nice.
And I don't know how it's going to actually form that'll take, but we'll figure it out. You know, I think there will be
a PowerPoint.
Probably. For me, that's a comfort zone, you know. But we covered a lot of material in the book. We really do. It's for like 12 to 20 year olds and their parents, and we cover like everything. We try to be very inclusive with it.
Friends, parents, bullies, teachers, dating.
Was there anything in the book that either one of you was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to do it with this person. I don't want to talk about this with my dad. I don't want to talk about this with my daughter.
Not really.
No, I mean, as I said yesterday in another interview, there were clear boundaries when it came to information sharing. Like, I wasn't like, Dad, I did X, Y, and Z. You know, like, that didn't happen.
Adam loves this. This is his happiest moment.
He's having a great time.
He's been waiting for this for 26 years.
I haven't. I'm always more mystery, less history. That's right. On my license plate frame.
You know what did traumatize her, though, was the dag bit we did with the earpiece.
She did not understand.
We have to bring this up.
Well, it's not that I didn't understand. It was that here is this cartoon rendering of me that, like, sort of does look like me and, like, kind of encapsulated my worst fear in that, you know, because I was my dad's daughter, I would be kind of projectiled in this way that was kind of not, I don't want to say problematic, but just there was a tension on me, right?
I want to be deliver this news. The two things that bugged her in the cartoon, one, you mentioned the eating disorder. You said, you're going to give her an eating disorder.
That's right.
Number two, and she didn't understand why Dag was talking about prolapsing her anus.
Oh, boy.
Which was the opening folly in that. And you're going to have to explain that to Paulina now, exactly why that was his opening comment.
Well, he is a little Tourette's-y, I think. And it's also something we probably discussed on Loveline enough so that it got into his vernacular.
We must have had a call or something.
Maybe something from earlier. Again, all the callbacks, but if you're not there for the call, then you don't get the callback reference. But I'm assuming it was something we had discussed earlier in the evening before we slid into that.
It's excellent improv, you know?
Like, it is. It's fine improv.
It is. But, you know, when you're 14 and your mom puts it on Facebook and says, look at this hilarious video, link and laugh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's how I found it.
Oh. Yeah, see?
And I'm like 14.
Sue shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah.
She here?
No. Okay. Jordan drove me.
She's hiding in the closet.
Jeez.
Well, social media is, this predated that, but then obviously.
Facebook. Yeah.
But this thing was before Facebook.
Yeah, right. It might have been.
But look, so is 70s porn you can readily find on your phone today. You know, it's like, just because it was created before does not mean it shall not be experienced hence.
Sounds like it should have been MySpace if you were that age.
No, because freshman year of high school, I managed to get a Facebook.
Okay.
And she tagged me.
Well, this is on the same subject, and we'll veer a little bit. But I think they recently, I don't know if it was Twitter, Facebook, some place that Zuckerberg's running or whatever. But there's now data that they weren't sharing with us that women, especially girls, young girls, spending a lot of time on their phone is pretty damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And how could it not be? How could it help sort of thing? I don't know if it was a study. I think it was leaked documents or whatever. So this is kind of going down the way the whole tobacco thing went down in the 80s, which is the big tobacco companies obviously knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. They knew cigarettes were addictive and nicotine and blah, blah, blah. they'd haul them in front of Congress, and they'd go, it's not addicting. We don't have any data to support. But then you find the internal memos that say, we know what's going on. And by the way, who's smarter than them? You know what I mean? That's their business. That's their company. They know what's going on. I'll filibuster for a second here, Chris. You can find that. But they're now pretty much figuring out that young women especially are negatively impacted by all the interaction.
That makes perfect sense, because for anybody, if you combine two insane things, which is isolation and being obsessed with what other people think of you, but not having any community to absorb that, you're fucked. And you talk about like a 13-year-old girl who is already just literally walking nerves. I don't know how that could be anything but damaging.
How long did I have them, Daddy?
The cartoon was called Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Romeo and Juliet. I don't know. Romeo Paulina, thoughts on that subject?
Yeah, you know, it's social media generally. I'm so grateful that I didn't have Instagram growing up. I mean, it's just immediate comparison, and everyone is projecting, you know, their idealized version of their life. And so, you know, you scroll through your feed and you're having a bad day. It looks like everyone's having a fantastic day. And so I think that there needs to be more media literacy. And that means, you know, both in the media and also social media, in that, you know, it's all a projection. It's all a performance. And it's hard for, you know, kids who are coming to something and just viewing it for the first time to like have that sort of filter system. So I really think that media literacy is something that we should be teaching.
I wonder, I imagine, and you have what, Max Pat? Do you have that article? Or
yeah,
do you have
Dawson
that?
Will read it.
Oh, okay.
Facebook aware of Instagram's harmful effect on teenage girls, leak reveals. Facebook has kept internal research secret for 2 years that suggests its Instagram app makes body image issues worse for teenage girls, according to a leak from the tech firm. Since at least 2019, staff at the company have been studying the impact of their product on its younger users' states of mind. Their research has repeatedly found it is harmful for a large proportion, and particularly teenage girls. Quote, we make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls.
Sheesh. I believe it.
Well, it's no different than tobacco, as you said.
That was on a slide.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
And we all know it's doing it. Much like tobacco, we knew it was addictive, you know.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting, though.
We turned 2 today.
Optics are kind of interesting, because when the tobacco guys were hauled up in front of Congress, they'd be wearing like 3-piece suits with tie clips and a pinky ring, and they had bad mustaches. You know, look at those guilty motherfuckers. Zuckerberg shows up in a hoodie and flip flops. We're like, hey, leave the guy alone, man.
He seems cool. Like a nice guy.
He's a nerd. He's not doing anything to chicks. Come on, look at him. Yeah, he's doing the same shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that sort of the way that I personally try to combat that is by diversifying the people that I follow. So whether that's, you know, just their profession or what they look like, I think being cognizant of who you are following and the images that you're consuming is very important. Because ultimately, we are all in control of the accounts that we follow. And so that is going to dictate what you consume. So,
well, I think you're absolutely right. And I've made this comparison before to like reality TV. And it's just like, you know, I've never seen The Real Housewives. It's like being reminded for a half hour what I don't have doesn't interest me.
But so many people, I mean, they love the drama, I think, but also just like Kardashian-esque fame / money is the pinnacle right now, which is so interesting.
Well,
the cusp of collapse. Society's collapsing, and we're like, yes, I want 4 Lamborghinis and a house in Calabasas.
Just 4, huh?
Okay. Poor man.
Well, no, so
I tried to get her to aim high.
I say to Drew, have been saying to Drew, all roads lead to narcissism.
Yeah.
And I'll bring it back to you and your home and everything else. You know, if you say
he's preparing to get us out of here, just, you know,
I'm preparing. Yeah. But if you said to me, you want to go see the soothsayer? She reads tarot cards. She'll read your palms. She'll tell you your future. I go, get that gypsy shit out of here. But when Sue has the reader at your party, There's a fucking long line of people who would never go into one of those places going, okay.
Tell me more. Yeah.
Tell me more about me.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think they figured out, the algorithm is, oh, someone's going to talk about you. You're going to fucking find out. You know, you don't, you know, there's the voyeur where it's like, oh, back when we were growing up, like People Magazine. Let's see how, you know. The cast of Falcon Crest really lives. I mean, that's like, that's okay at the airport. But what if the cast of Falcon Crest was talking about you?
Oh, yeah.
How are you going to stay away from that? You know what I mean? Like someone said something about you or they tweeted you or you're involved. You're in the mix. They know that beckons, man. Like you cannot walk away from that. And that's why it's so addicting. I mean, that's what they have. That's the hold. That's like the invisible lasso that they have on everyone. It's like, it's about you. You're not just, you cannot read about the news or current events or what's going on in India with vaccinations or something, but some shit that's got to do with you, you got to check that every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the draw. That's the nicotine.
Yeah. Yes.
The heroin.
All right. I should, well, let me do a quick live read, and then I'll give you guys a plug, and we'll get on with our lives. Liquid IV, it's important, man, especially now that it's back to 95 degrees outside. Cooler weather can make you miss signs of dehydration. Of course, when it's hot, you're sweating, you know it. You want to support that immune system. Plus, the holiday hangover season, man, it's just around the corner. Liquid IV, I always travel with a couple sticks of this in my overnight bag. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster than and more efficiently, I should say, than water alone. Five essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, as much potassium. Drew would always say, if you're hungover, have a banana. Then a banana, no artificial flavors or preservatives, less sugar than an apple. Flavor, strawberry, lemon, lime, pina colada, guava, watermelon. It's Liquid IV, right, Dawson?
Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Adam at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code Adam at liquidiv.com.
You turned two today.
Oh, the little cherub.
That's the whole chasm of vocals patterns. Dawson and a six-year-old boy.
That's right. Bookend. Everything's in between. Dr. Drew, Paulina Pinsky. The book, It Doesn't Have to Be Awkward. It's available now on Amazon and website paulinapinsky.com and drdrew.com. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. I got many things to share. And then Lisa Lampanelli's coming in right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace, in the same vein as your souffle humor, whatever happened to the jokes about pepper making you sneeze at the worst possible time? It felt like my whole childhood was filled with that. Anyways, get it on, Ace.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I had an interesting sneeze situation that I did not share with you guys, but I forgot about it. I was... I'm not a big sneezer. I don't really have allergies, but when they hit, they hit. Mm-hmm. I can't really push them down.
Without warning, as August would say.
Well,
as August would do.
Mike doesn't know when he's going to sneeze. I get about a 12-second heads up.
Sure.
But it's kind of like we're not getting that horse back in the barn.
Right.
Once it's on, it's sort of on. It's a countdown to destruction. And but I don't sneeze often, and so it's not a thing. And when we were in Chicago last weekend and we're doing a show at Park West, 15-20 minute drive from the hotel, met Mike down in the lobby, jumped in the back of a town car, Uber-y thing, jumped in the back of the car, realized I left my fucking mask in the fucking room, and I had no mask. But it was dark, and I was sort of sitting back. And the guy who was driving the car started the seat pushed up, and he didn't have a good angle on me. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to sit here, and hopefully he doesn't say anything because I don't have a mask. And then about 30 seconds later, I felt the sneeze
coming.
And I was like, oh, fuck. I didn't know what to do, but it's coming. And I got about 15 seconds to try to deal with it. And then I pulled my shirt over my face and I sneezed. But as soon as I sneezed, the guy's head like whipped around like, where's your mask? And I'm like,
is it just a smash cut to him pulling over and launching you out with your stuff behind you?
If it was a sitcom, that's what it would have been. It was instead, Mike travels with a bevy of beat up, gravy-stained SARS-covered mask somewhere in his sweatpants, and he'll always pull one out and throw
defeats
it at me.
Defeats the purpose.
To the man who picked up a dirty one at the port in Catalina,
I'm sure
it was good enough.
I always put it right on.
Now,
yes.
Are you a one, two, or three sneezer? I'm a three sneezer.
I will go for a while. This, thankfully, was one and done. It was a derringer.
Have you guys had the experience in the last year and a half with COVID and the mask and everything where you sneeze and you reflexively cover your mouth? You're
absolutely.
Like, what am I doing? I'm an idiot right now.
Yep.
So yeah.
You need the mask on. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Agreed. All right. Let's see. I got a couple of phone calls up there, but I also have that alligator video that everyone saw.
A guy trying to trap an alligator in his recycling bin or something.
Right, and it's trash can in Florida, obviously, but it was pretty, it was kind of interesting. It was not a large alligator, but large enough.
It's a fucking alligator.
It was 7 feet long.
Yeah.
And the guy
That's not large?
The guy, well, alligators get to 16 feet or something. It was probably like a teenage alligator, but whatever.
He's backing up.
He's coming at it with the trash can, and it's kind of interesting. He's kind of pushing it along the lawn, and the alligator's backpedaling and its mouth is open
hissing
and at some point he flips the lid down on it and the alligator tries to attack the lid and somehow gets off his game. As I recall, he gets his head in, then he gets his head out, but then he flips the lid down and the alligator goes to attack the lid.
Smart.
And then somehow gets in the can.
Look at that.
And the guy pulls the thing in, the tail's whipping,
thrashing
around, and he lifts it up and gets the whole thing into the thing.
Holy
now,
shit.
Looks like a dinosaur.
Right. Crowd is cheering.
Jesus.
Now, a couple things. This is all very interesting to me, but I approach it more in the poor Steve Irwin, because this guy was wearing flip-flops.
Yeah.
And socks. Yeah.
No prior experience wrangling alligators. Remember you'd watch Steve Irwin.
At most.
Steve Irwin had boots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laced up high.
A lot of khaki.
Desert shorts.
A lot of pockets.
A lot of pockets and a roll of duct tape. And he'd jump on that alligator and you're like, oh my God, no one else could do that. But evidently, a guy in flip-flops
can
in a trash can and flip-flops. It's just not what you want.
The bar's been lowered.
If you're the widow.
Yeah.
If you're Bindi.
Yeah, Bindi.
Mm-hmm. Steve Irwin, as I was thinking about this, I Googled it up. Dead 15 years.
Unbelievable.
By that crazy?
A stingray.
Like it was during the radio show or right before?
06.
There you go.
Like right there or right,
year,
right before.
Didn't a stingray like go through his chest? Like,
you know, I agree. I was trying to think about this. Like, he was swimming above the manta ray or the stingray or whatever. They're all so majestic because
they're beautiful.
They're the best of the sky and the best of the
ocean.
That's right. You know,
they
just flap along. And for some reason, the stinger just...
The barb went through his heart?
Through his heart, yeah.
Right.
Fucked him up.
I don't know. Was he...
He was only 44.
Were they attacking him or did the stingray know what it was doing? I don't know, but either way, and he used to swim. He'd always be in the water in the khaki shorts and the desert shirt and the whole thing. Like that was his
brand
swimsuit.
It was his brand.
But anyway, he'll be missed, but not as much because it turns out a dude in flip flops and a do rag with a recycling bin can
carry on his legacy.
Pretty much handle what he handled.
That was very much like the poor man Siegfried and Roy.
Right.
You know, instead of like the majestic outfits and the whip and the chair, it's just a trash can and flip-flops.
All right, let's hop on some phone calls here. Talk to Mike, 43, Omaha. Mike?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hi guy.
Hey.
Hello. Something I've been noticing in Omaha lately is a lot of the time if you see somebody driving like a maniac in traffic, mm-hmm. they're often a cute young girl, often blonde. And I've had this happen four or five times in the last couple months where, like, somebody cuts me off hard or goes across, like, three lanes of traffic to get over to a turn lane and cuts three or four people off. And you pull up next to them, and sure enough, it's a nice-looking 20-year-old blonde. And she's, like, looking at her phone. And I'm curious, is that something? Do you guys have that in California, or is that just a Nebraska thing?
Well, everyone is blonde drive, like, and good-looking here.
Well, we have to draw the line between driving recklessly, like he's described, like, oh, shit, my exit, you know, I've been tuned out listening to a podcast or whatever, versus what I think you and I do, which is the very aggressive drive.
Yeah, that's my
move.
Or the
assertive drive.
Yeah.
I would reckon.
Right, and this is not aggressive. This is dangerous.
That's what I'm thinking.
Checked out.
I think.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me that young, attractive blondes are spending more time with social media or on their phone than middle-aged, paunchy, Hispanic dudes driving a gardening truck.
Sure.
Like, right. I'm trying to think. So I would imagine if it's younger, like, I'm trying to think. When I drive my daughter and her friends around, they always all hop on their phones immediately. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to basically... kind of interesting because you have essentially 10 years. Mike, what you up to over there?
Dodging hot drivers.
He's capturing alligators.
Mike?
What's that again?
What are you doing?
Say again?
What are you doing over there?
Graphic design.
Okay.
At this moment?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, well.
Okay. All right. Sounded more... involved than that.
No, I'm sorry. I'm walking around. I hope I'm not cutting out too much.
That's all right. Okay. So, interesting, which is girls and boys, but they get that phone now when they're 8-10 years old, and then they spend hours in an automobile with the phone.
Yes.
So they get the phone when they're 7 or 8 or 9. And then they sit in the car, and the parent goes, yeah, get busy on your phone so I can listen to my music or whatever. And then they get used to just getting in a car and getting on the phone, and then they drive 200,000 miles from the age of 9 to the age of 16, and then they get their driver's license, and we go, you can bring your phone, but don't look at your phone.
Good luck.
Seems like it's already kind of built, it's already woven into the muscle memory at that point.
Is there an app out there, almost like the breathalyzer, where you, once it detects you're in a car, it like locks itself
for teens? They have those sort of beacons on them where you can tell where they are
right.
all the time. There's... But I don't, there must be something, but I'm sure they can defeat it and get on with
it. Right. Well, it's like you just talked about how, you know, staying on social media is harmful to teenage girls. Well, guess what? It's also harmful when you go 65 miles an hour into a median.
It can be harmful to 67-year-old retirees if you're crossing three lanes.
That's right.
And staring at your phone. Yeah. It's a phenomenon. It's going to have to be dealt with. I would reckon Los Angeles is going to deal with this problem by coming up with something cute for one of their freeway signs that rhymes.
Yeah.
You know, don't be a text pest
or
something.
Good.
You know, something dumb that we'll put up there that will make no impact. But that's how we're going to deal with it personally. Thanks, Mike, from Omaha.
Awesome.
All right. Let's see. Somebody's got a question about Joe Coy and Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
I knew those two were a couple. Also, someone's complaining. Someone's got something with Gabby Petito. Hey, Tommy, 40, New York.
Yo, Waze, Paul, Gina. What's up, guys?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Guy.
Hi, guys. Guys, first of all, I love your fucking show. Ace, I've been a fan of yours for the last 20 years. You guys are lifesavers on my long marathon training runs. Fucking love it. Listen every single day. Love it, guys.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing.
How long are your training runs?
Depends on the day. It could be like an hour, 3 hours. But listen to part one and part two sometimes.
Nice.
So.
Well, what's your question?
Yeah.
Or your thought?
Well, it's not so much a question, just an observation, because I know the Gabby Petito thing has been talked to death, but I was watching, I was on CNN.com, and they had like five articles about why aren't, you know, minorities being focused on, and, you know, you watch on TV, and then they have like, you know, the, you know, cunt Joy Reid with a whole soliloquy or whatever, talking about how, and all I'm doing is screaming at my computer and my TV saying, you're the media. Mm-hmm. You cover it then.
Yes.
I mean, I don't understand this. Like,
yes.
They're complaining about lack of coverage, but they're the media. They have total control over what to broadcast.
That's a great point.
It's just a very, very interesting point and an interesting time we're at, which is my entire first half of my life, and I'll lead into 6 years ago, you could switch on to ABC or CNN or Fox or NBC and you just watch what their stories were. But none of their stories were on their competitors or the other channels.
Oh, now it's...
Now there's a lot of... Joy Reid's entire show is probably what Tucker Carlson is up to. And a lot... It's a two-way street. They both complain about what the other is doing or not doing. You know, actually... Joy Reid, MSNBC is complaining about what Tucker Carlson is saying, and then Fox is complaining about what they're not covering.
Mm.
So it's like, it's kind of funny. It's because here's what they're not saying about the border or the Hellfire missile strike that killed the kids. Or whatever. They're not saying it. And the other side's going, here's what they said about slavery. And it's an interesting thing. And it's probably... It went from 0% when I was growing up. There was no world where Dan Rather was talking about
talk shit.
Harry Reasoner's a fag. You should see what he's talking about.
Ted Koppel, homo.
Yeah, they would never do that.
It's beneath them.
Well, not only that, that was their competition.
Yeah,
you had to pretend
if
like
you were
they
watching
didn't exist. If you're selling cheeseburgers, you weren't talking about the other place that was selling cheeseburgers. You're talking about how good your cheeseburgers were. And now, it's you know, depending on the day, you might be at 15, 20%, depending on who's... MSNBC is just about Fox. Fox, depending on what shows you watch...
They need each other.
20%. But at a certain point, it's going to get past 50%.
Yeah.
And at some point, they should just get in the same room.
Yeah, fucking make out and get it over with.
Just go at it. Instead of pulling clips, you could just do it in real time.
You see what he said just now?
Do you hear that? One thing.
The picture in picture.
Piece of lucite it divides us from insanity
it's
over there.
It's a simulcast. They're just talking back and forth.
I would love that.
That's actually pretty
That's a great idea.
All right. Well, thanks for the food for the thought, Tommy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and one more. Michael, 38, Houston. Oh, Joe Coy and Chelsea Handler.
Mijo? Yeah, man, I've been following Joe Coy around his stand-up going around. He's got a new flame.
Yeah, new flame, yeah.
See what you thought about that with Chelsea Handler.
Do you know her? Have you met her?
He sounds like a guy on TMZ, like a cameraman. Hey, what do you think about New Flame?
I've done her show a couple of times. My take on it is she wasn't that interested in her own show at the time I was doing it. She was like kind of delegating.
Okay.
She's had a lot of cast peanut gallery around her, and she'd bring up the story, and then they would all sort of answer the story. I don't know her personally very well. Probably talked to her a time or two. Joe, Joy, of course we love. It doesn't strike me that this is going to end up at the altar, but if they're both having fun and enjoying themselves and traveling around, then God bless them. I don't know if she's doing... I don't know if she's doing comedy anymore. I don't think she's doing stand-up.
What's her
line?
She does stand-up. I mean, she used to do a lot of stand-up. Well, I don't know if she has dates. Is there...
Are those all her dates?
Are those all... Are we looking
these
at
are
her
Chelsea's dates.
Oh, then Chelsea's doing a bunch of dates.
Tons quite a of lot dates. Of dates, actually.
Quite a lot of dates, yeah. I don't. I was
Holy
just
shit.
Getting. I was just getting reports that she was like traveling around with Joe Coy, so it didn't seem like she was doing dates. But she's got a lot of dates up, so she's doing stand up. He's doing stand up, and you kids have fun. Mm-mm. I just it feels fleeting to me.
Okay,
that's my head on it. But you know, that could just be one podcaster's opinion.
As all the Jewish grandmothers say, everybody should live and be well.
Mm-hmm. That's what we hope for. Speaking of that, Lisa Lampanelli, one of our favorites, who did officially retire from doing stand-up.
No dates.
But still brings the funny because she can't help it. She's going to come in a second. First, I'm going to tell you about Stamps.com. Small business owners, our time is valuable. Stop wasting it at the post office. You don't want to make trips over there. Stamps.com, mail and ship right from your computer. Since 1998, Stamps.com has been indispensable to nearly 1 million businesses. I've used it here. We've used it here since basically it's been over 11 years now. We ship merch. We ship books. We do paperwork this way. Whether you're an office sending invoices, an Etsy shop, or a giant warehouse shipping order, Stamps.com lets you buy and print U.S. postage for any letter, any package, anywhere. Exclusive discounts discounts on U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping rates as well. New rate advisor tool compares shipping rates and timelines. Special offer, 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in Adam to get that deal. All right, one of our favorites, Lisa Lampanelli, is going to be in studio right after this.